Right. So,
We're going back and looking at equip for the work of ministry, and there are particular things I want us to look at shortly. In the next 20 minutes, there are particular things I want us to look at. Now, the goal of this conversation, this teaching is, or let me put it this way, the topic under equip for the work of ministry is discovering and fulfilling your call. Discovering and fulfilling your call. We've talked broadly about how the fivefold ministry is given for equipping and releasing resource to you and I so that we can function. Correct. We've talked about that over the months. And if you go to Spotify or you are on any of the podcast platforms that we are connected to, you'll find these teachings almost about 20 versions or part 2021. I didn't upload that of last week, so I'll do today's own and that of last week. You will find all these teachings there, and they are designed to help you. You have to design a system to drill truth into your heart. And one of them is to listen again and listen again. Bible says faith come by hearing the word of God. But the original Greek translation is to hear again and again, and faith, the lifestyle of faith is now produced in you. So for one to walk in the lifestyle of faith, it will require that you actually develop a system to hear again and again and again teachings that you have heard before. And thankfully, these days we have technology. And by technology, you can easily assess teachings that have been done. Like yesterday in the evening, I did some powerful teaching online. All evidence taken away. I've started teaching it online, because it ties in into the Lord who is our righteousness. So please develop a system. Build around you systems that can help you remember that which God has been pressing upon your heart. So discovering and fulfilling your call. And it's important that you discover your call. And if you do, it will allow you to live your life with confidence, dignity, and in style. Please listen to me. I'm going to speak in a particular way, and you need to listen with a hearing ear. I pray that the Lord will give me grace, and the Lord will give you also grace not to just hear me from here, but hear him from the very first place of when these things are conceived in his thought and his mind. It is important that you discover your call. In discovering your call, it will allow you to live your life with confidence and in dignity and in style. Because there is only one you. Say with me, I have only one me. And here I am. There is no other. And this is not blasphemous. You cannot be like God. God is not like you, but God is everything. And I cannot be like you. The things that you can do best, there is no way. Even if I try everything and I pray in whatever tongues, there's no way I can do the things that you do. Because as you came into the earth, you were given particular grace and anointing to function in that thing. Please hear me. The goal for we teaching this is that to allow people to accurately apply themselves to fulfill their call. To accurately apply themselves so that they can fulfill their call. We're about fixing this TV, and then Albert brought everything. When Albert brought them, there was no screw. And there are screws in this room, Nalai. We could carry one of those screws and try to fix it, but it will come down. Albert had to abandon this thing, I think the next day or so, make sure the screws that we need are found. If not, this TV will not be where it is. By now, it will be on the floor, and it's wasted finances and all. So, I'm teaching this thing so that you or to accurately apply yourself to the fulfillment of your call. You are not growing young. Please listen to me. If you don't serve God now, you will not serve God tomorrow. If you don't serve God with your gift and callings, you will never do it now. If you don't do it now, you never do it. You will grow old and then you say, where we were, that is what you will be saying. We are teaching this so that people can effectively be deployed. There's a difference between being employed and being deployed. There's a difference between being employed and being deployed. You must deploy your gifts and callings and your talents into the right environment where you are called to, so that you will be relevant and live significantly. Significant living is when you are effectively deployed. Who can fire you from you? Who can fire you from you? You yourself, who can fire you from you? Nobody can fire you from you. You are the best employment that can ever exist. Please, if we don't teach these things and teach it in a certain way, we will pray with religion. We will play church and think we are fulfilling a call, and then one day we check out of the earth. And we come before God and we are like as blank like a baby. When the reel of our life is being rolled, what we are exactly we ought to be. And we are, God, is that me? And you are seeing yourself in a thing, but you are not sure. What is happening? We didn't leave it. Miles Morrow said that the graveyard is where you have the best of ideas, all sitting, because people die with their gifts and callings and mantles and graces. We are not here to die that way. We need to die well. I told you that I have a teaching there called dying well. And one of the ways to die well is to die empty. And the Bible said he gave up the ghost. He died empty. People die full. No, you don't have to die full. Paul says that I have finished. Jesus said it is finished. You have to die empty. So long as there is still some rounds loaded in you, it means that it's not time to die yet. So confess with me, say, it's not my time to die. Look, I'm dealing with something in the spirit as well. Say, in the name of Jesus, I cancel every funeral plans. I speak to my body. I speak to my environment and the conditions around me. Hear the word of the Lord. It is not yet my time. I speak to my body. Every organ in my being respond to the word of the Lord and align to life in the name of Jesus. Every funeral plans concerning my life, every covenant of death by the blood of Jesus, wherever it is located, behold the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of this life. In the name of Jesus. Oh grave, where is your power? Oh death, where is your sting? In the name of Jesus. The Lord said, and I will open their graves, and I will destroy death. I will be the destruction of death. In the name of Jesus. Let the Lord go out for my sake. Be the destruction over death. I cancel every funeral plans arranged in my family house for me. Anybody who has entered into an agreement concerning my life, in the name of Jesus, that arrangement is annulled and it is foolishness. In the name of Jesus, I declare by the word of the living God, I am anointed. My life is anointed. My spirit is anointed. My soul is anointed. My body is anointed. By the anointing, every yoke that will take me quickly, an early death into the grave by the anointing, that yoke is broken in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It's important. Purpose is the most powerful thing on the earth. Let me deal with this. So people must be effectively deployed. Many people today are not deployed. They are in employment. They can be fired easily. Please, let this statement awaken you into some depth about you. Something about you that you have not discovered. God, bring me into deployment. You, yourself, and your gift, you are the best company that can ever be found. And you see, unfortunately, people abandon their gifts for so many, 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 many reasons. One, the other brother's gift is brighter than my gift. You know, I told myself that going forward in open heavens meetings, I'll minister in the prophetic. Do you know why? It is one of the gifts and the callings of God upon my life. Why should I be abandoning it? I have to create systems platforms. You want to come to fulfilling the call. I have to create systems and platforms for the gift to find expression and be effective. So there's a need that you discover your gifts and the right set of platforms so that you can deploy yourself. But when you are in employment, people fire you. But with you and your gift, who can fire you from you? Nobody can fire you from who you are. So discover yourself and live unapologetically. That is why I said we have to live in confidence and dignity and style, because you will not be living a life of apologies to anybody. You live a life of significance. Let's continue. The call, I'll come back and talk about the call using ecclesis and the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that, explain some things into depth so that you can understand how the call functions. Whether you are in the midst of the ocean, the call is still with you. It is not something you do Sunday, like I finish preaching and then Monday the call is gone. No, the call is with me even when I'm fast asleep. The call is with me. The call determines who you marry. The call determines where you go, the company you keep, the friends you keep. The call determines the kind of message you listen to. If you think you can listen to any preaching like anybody, you will fail. I'm telling you the truth, you will struggle, because there are certain people you will naturally listen to them and you will come alive. When Jesus's mother Mary met John the Baptist's mother, was it Elizabeth? What happened? Something happened. Bible said the baby leaped in the womb. There are people, environments, when you find yourself, you will function correctly. So you have to be very careful. It's not just anywhere you go, you carry yourself and all. There's a lady I told, I said, turn down every appointment not to minister and sing. She has a very unique voice. Very unique voice. Don't minister in any church and all of that, because I'm seeing you standing on a platform, the bottom open, and you went down and nobody cared. Nobody could raise you up. Till today, she's not out. She will sing here, she will sing there, she will sing here, she will sing there, she will sing here, she will sing there. And it's so sad about today's generation of musicians. Fast, quick, I want to be known because of social media. It is possible to be known by people and never known by heaven and the angels and demons. So I say better to be known by God than to be accorded the accolades of men. Elijah, I am the man of God for the hour. God says, well, I have 7,000 who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed Baal. Well, Elijah, what are you talking about? There are people that God recognizes and make a boast of. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my man of God Job? No. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my servant this? So please, it's important that you understand the nature of the call. How powerful that thing can make you on, make you your own call. Please listen to me. Your own call can make you on, make you based on what understanding you have. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it says a call, the calling. Is a strong inner pause towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence. Hey, as a dictionary said, divine influence. It could be agbalagba or something, but divine influence, me, I accept, because I know the world I'm coming from. When I saw the thing in the dictionary, I'm like, what? Dictionary. Dictionary attribute calling to spirituality. Dictionary. That means that the world is also changing small, small. Dictionary, which will be formal and be straight. Formal English like that. And you see the sound of the dictionary, say formal Oxford Dictionary. Marianne says, a strong inner pause towards a particular course of action, especially when accompanied by conviction of divine influence, such as a vocation. Aha, now we are going there. Such as a vocation, a profession in which one customarily engages naturally to the granular primal existence of the person. It is who she, he is, them, people, who they are. You can't separate them. It's like Pete and the Bola. You can't separate them. This is the calling of God upon your life. Try fulfilling another's own. You are a dead man. You are a dead woman. Let me give you an example. David went to the battlefield and they said, wear this jacket. He said, this calling, I've not tried it before. I'm not used to it. It doesn't fit me. That's why I got a term from you and yourself in your skin. You are the best company. That is where I got that revelation from. He says, I have not tried it before. Let's proceed further. There are several myths about the call. There are several lies about the call. Let me touch on maybe one or two. There's more. I don't want to spend time on it. As we go, we will touch on them. One of them is that it is only the pastors who are called. So a big lie has been told people, it's only the pastor who is called. Every other person is supposed to serve the call of the pastor. Big lie, demonic from the pit of hell. It's a religious devil and we are not embracing it. The call is a vocation. The call is a profession that God has brought you into. Like you are an engineer by like him. Nobody taught me. I asked him also one day, how did you learn this? He said, nobody taught me this computer thing. And he's doing it by herself. My wife says that her calling is that she's supposed to be a kingdom financier. So sometimes, even if, listen to me carefully. Even if she has grace to preach and teach the word of God and lead prayer. And now one day he says, now I think to fulfill the call of God properly, I have to be a preacher. She could be missing it unless it is clearly the call of God. I had a story of a man who was fixing cars. And he was doing so well. Family was doing well. One day he carried himself and went to his pastor and told his pastor that he to fulfill the kingdom and do the things well, now I have to leave fixing of cars. Listen to the story carefully. And go and preach the word. I understood that the man had a very technical mind. So his understanding of scripture is deep. And when he's teaching, you would think this man is a core teacher. And I'll tell you something. He went ahead, the pastor said, no, if when you do that, your family will be disrupted. Like you will struggle financially. Your children will begin to walk away from the Lord. He refused. He resigned from the church. He was an elder in the church. He resigned. He said, no way. You are stopping me from fulfilling my call. And then he went to a big church in town and they employed him as a teacher of the place. A few years, family was in disarray. He was struggling financially, including everything they are paying him. Was that payment not sustaining the other pastor? Why is it not sustaining him? Family was in disarray. So he went back, I think 2 years after, he went back to his pastor and said, I am sorry about the conversation we had and the action I took. He repented. And then one night he was praying. The Lord says, go back to the garage. Go and fix cars. And he went back fixing cars. And one day he had a dream. In this dream, the Lord began to talk to him about computers and how to use computers to fix cars. He said, but God, me, I don't know anything about computers. So he called a friend who is good with computers and says, can I use computers to fix cars? And he said, yes. Okay, let's come together and build a diagnosis system to be used to fix cars. And they are one of the best in the world. The children began to walk with the Lord again. There was peace at home. Life is aligned. Please. The call of God is not a thing to be toyed with. That is why I said it can make you or unmake you, depending on how you engage it, you understand it. So it is important that you and I understand the call and walk in it. So let me leave that myth and go on. And so in that myth, people believe that it's only the pastors who are called to fulfill their calling. But all of us have a unique call. You have a unique call upon your life. And you need to fulfill that call. The pastors are called to preach and guide and instruct and do all the things. There are so many things coming to my heart this morning. And do all the things that they have to do. But you are also called in your unique field. In your unique field. I told you the story of my friend. My friend who is he's an electrician. He went to read electrical part one, part two, whatever. And what happened is that when you give him a screwdriver, he holds it like he's holding a pen. When you when there's a spark in that plug, right, he jumps like a chicken. Then he went to reading marketing. He dropped it. Then he went to read bank of finance. The guy is blazing. He's with one of the banks in Ghana. When he blocks your account, you need to produce evidence. He's finding fulfillment. He's doing training for the bank. He's going to France, here, back and forth. He's satisfied now. It's important that you discover your call. And in fulfilling your call, there's something called gifts, talents, and abilities. We'll talk about that much later. Let's move on. So let's talk quickly about the foundation of the call. I told you, I'm crashing this one. Then next week, I jump into something else. That is why I call this service equipped. This service is for what we call equipping and empowerment gathering. I'm not in the life to joke. Sunday morning, I'll say, No. People's lives, people's destinies, people's marriages, people's calling. You go, the whole of Saturday, you spend the night to go and do nkunya Sunday morning. You're not serious. No, men of God need to wake up and be serious. Because I explained to you when the Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 4, that the gifts are given for equipping. That word is like you going to the shop to do body works. There are dents they have to straighten. After they straighten the dents, you who is a skilled person, they have to give you the right set of tools. And when you study that word carefully, you notice that each gift, each calling as prophet down to evangelist to what is supposed to relate the gift to each unique individual. So the grace upon my life, I cannot just come and preach a raw message like this and walk away. Thereafter, I should be able to relate the gift to you uniquely to build you in your gift and your calling and your ministry. And this thing is not joke. This thing requires a serious intervention out of heaven. This thing requires an encounter. The things that have been going on in my mind lately, when I think about ministry, it's no joke. So you can't just gather people, and then you have people you are celebrating, you have 1,000, 2,000, 6,000 people you are celebrating. How are you building them? What systems are there to build the people? There has to be a system to equip, engage, and release. Release people into functionality. Shoot them like arrows into the field. Oak trees must be planted in the field. They must go and function and bear fruit. And they themselves will not find fulfillment and say, my life is fulfilled now. I cannot do this without seeking the face of God. So, let's understand the weight of what we are dealing with. We are not like any other ordinary church in town. Listen, we are not seeking one miracle or one breakthrough like that. However, there shall be abundance of breakthroughs and miracles. We may miss it if we miss the purpose for which they are released in our lives. Why will God heal your body? He needs the body. His accommodation has cracks and you will not heal it. He needs that body to dwell in. So he will heal that body. Why will God bless you with finances? He will bless you. Bible says that through prosperity that your righteousness will spread. In the book of Zechariah, it says that my cities will spread through prosperity. So the city speaks of the church, and the church is who they build it. No, you and I. Our lives, our righteousness will elongate, will go far, will be impactful. Bible says wealth in the hands of the righteous makes the wicked to gnash their teeth. Once finances come into somebody's and they know that another person's deliverance is coming, the devil is worried. You have not even prayed in tongues. Listen, you have not even prayed in tongues. Finances just landed. The devil is worried. That is why the devil is doing everything to prevent you from having finances. He knows wealth in the hands of the righteous makes the wicked to gnash their teeth. The book of Psalms says it makes their desires to melt away. They are plans for people. Wealth in the hands of the righteous. Now the devil looks and says, the plans is poor. They have never prayed in tongues. Cornelius gave alms and prayed. Heaven walked quickly. Say, come on, support. Bring salvation. Because the impact of salvation is not just Cornelius. His entire household got born again. What you don't understand is that Bible says, somebody open to me, open for me, John chapter 3, verse 17. Quickly. Or let me read it myself. Let me show you something. See, if we don't understand our calling and the things that follow it and the things that come with it, God will give you wealth and you will go and gallivant around, and God will give you opportunities and you just waste it. God will give you a stage. God will give you a position in the office. Listen, somebody is going back into a release. Somebody is being shot like an arrow to go back to target because clear understanding is coming. Listen, if you don't understand the calling has given talents and abilities, if you don't understand the purpose the Lord takes from you, he says, you wicked servant, you are a wicked servant. You didn't apply yourself accurately and correctly. He says, catch him and throw him in. Be careful with your life. What God is doing with you is not like what he's doing with somebody out there. He has brought precious investment into you and I. And all we do is that people walk through the earth blank like a baby and they just waste it. You are not growing young. None of us sitting here, you're not growing young. And I'm going to quote a scripture shortly. It says that it is good for a young man to bear his, it's good for a man to bear his burden in his youth. A man told me, let me tell you how I went to school. A man told me, Michelle, I say yes, sir. He said, Michelle, when you are young, your work is digging. You have all the energy. You can dig. You can make things happen. You can go five directions at the same time. But Michelle, when you grow old, will you continue to dig? I said, no, sir. Go to school. My spiritual father, my late spiritual father did something to me. He called me. He said, Michelle. I said, Brother Fred. He said, Michelle, nyamia ma wadum. Michelle, ut mitre Bible pa. Michelle, ut Michelle nkom. Michelle, koneko chen nyamia nim. Go and wait on the Lord. Find out from God what is your primary gift and calling. I said, hey, I've not heard it before. The first time I'm hearing it. I said, okay. I said, what should I do? He says, go and find out what is your primary calling and walk in it. So I went, Ashama Government School Park. You find me from 12 a.m. to about 3 a.m. Maya Baba, Rababa, Sokotobaya. Lord, speak to me. Lord, direct my life. What am I? What am I supposed to do? And the Lord says, I've called you a prophet and you are a teacher. And in the days coming, I will bring you into a strong apostolic expression of these things. I have to remain and function in that. If I try to be another thing, that is why I teach Bible the way I teach. Because the prophetic allows me to look into scripture and look at situation, and the word of God arrives at me in a certain context. So I'm thankful to God that the prophetic is not only about visions, but it allows me. Jeremiah chapter 3:15, it says, I will give you shepherds who will feed you with truth, with the word correctly. Amos says that the Lord has roared, the habitation of the shepherd shall mourn. Why? The Lord is shouting, proclaim the word of the Lord out of Zion. Let his requirements go out, and the habitation, the top of Carmel shall wither, and the habitation of the shepherd shall mourn. What is that? There's a lot of teachings going around, but there's a time that is coming, the habitation of the sheepfold will begin to mourn because there will not be pasture. Also, the habitation of the sheepfold will begin to mourn because the Lord is releasing something exciting. Two different activities taking place within the same context of preaching, teaching, and everything, but one is of benefit, but one is to pain and destruction. Listen, when the same Amos chapter 6 says that woe to you who live comfortably in Zion, who live at ease in Zion, he said, for you strum your trumpet like David. They are not David. You sleep on beds of ivory. He said, woe to you inside Zion. In Zion, there is no akpasa. There is no fufu. There is no that liberty. People are agile. They are on their toes and they are pursuing the call of God for their lives. Friends, I'm sorry, but I have to teach you the way it is. Because it will be worrying for us to appear before God, and there are things that he wants us to do. Paul says that, I have finished. I have run the race. are there lie before? The guy is speaking evidently of his destiny and purpose. We cannot just die like that. When your day comes for you to die, you know. Let me repeat it. Maybe you don't believe it. Your faith is not there. When your day comes that you die, you will know. Idahosa, before he died, after he finished preaching, he preached a message that morning on death. And then he went to sleep and he died. Finish. Bible says that I am the messenger of the Lord in the Lord's message. You won't just hear. The message is already evident in him. He just came to preach it and he went and died. So stop thinking about dying now. Stop focusing on your problems now. Stop focusing on your stomach now. When you follow the call, every other thing will begin to fulfill in your life. Food, money, resources, forget it. Me, I led worship with my trouser hanging like this. My shirt trouser, now, be so few, sorry, there are rich people in the church. Then a friend of mine dashed me a shoe. The shoe has some embroidery. I said, when I see that type of shoe in town, I'll buy it to be reminding myself of where God took me from. Because if you don't remind yourself of where God took you from, you become very arrogant. My friend's father wore the shoe and gave it to his son. His son also wore it. H-A-N or the mommy. Then me too, I wore it. Now when you even step on a stone, the stone took you from the shoe. That tells you are wearing a shoe. And then at some point, I didn't even have a shoe at all. I have to wear a slip on and tuck in and be leading worship. 10 years I was leading worship in this church. When I was supposed to go to university, nobody could help me. The reason why I have not gone to university. My father didn't help. The church couldn't help. And what happened? I turned and looked at ACC and I began to pay my own fees. Today, next week Monday, I finished my master's in finance. So if you sit down and you say no, engage heaven. God have something for you, friend. We didn't come to life to joke. When we go to heaven, we will rest, we will enjoy. But there is some enjoyment we enjoy on this earth, but it is found in purpose. Okay, so please follow me. The foundation of the call, one. It's a clear understanding and expression of your identity. What am I saying? The foundation of your calling is who you are. Your effectiveness in your specific calling is hinged on who you are. Stop being like somebody else. Don't try it. Be who you are unapologetically with dignity and style. Be a fine girl and a fine boy in who you are. Effectively live it. So if you do not know who you are, there's a big problem. And today we have a bunch of politicians who do not know who they themselves are and trying to lead people. Matthew chapter, is it 15 the verse or 14 verse 15 or 15 verse 14? It says, if the blind leads the blind, they end up in a ditch. They don't even know what they are doing with their lives. But they want to lead people. So for me, before I even put people in leadership, one of the things that I look for is a clear identification of who they are. You must be convinced about that. If not, anybody can make you to be something else. I'm telling you this. Today they say be like this. Today they say be like this. Today they say do like this. Today they say. And then before you realize, I heard a man who was building a house somewhere in Trinidad. Any design he sees in town that is nice, you want to add it to his building. Now they are looking at the building. They don't know what to call the building. It's like that. It's like whether it's a ship, it's a boat, whether it's a mansion. You don't even know. Be like David. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Know it. And listen, don't subscribe that who you are to something else. If not, you'll be hurt. There are people living people's destiny and purposes in town. There's one of the things that provoked me. I remember some years ago, I was resigning from my job. My wife was not happy at all. She didn't have a job. She lost a job at the time, and me too, I'm resigning. So how are we going to survive? As soon as, how did we survive? If we look back, you just realize God, you just realize that, how did we do it? I remember the father and the mother will have to bring us food and all of those things, but how we survive, I don't know. I remember my children have to be sacked school fees. Hey, I remember I drove the car. There was some money on me on that day. I drove the car, took the children to the school, and the way they were behaving, I said, ah, but there's even part of the fees on me. The way I took my children, I said, she took the money and said, leave me, let me go. And she had a personal conversation with God about these things. Today, we are not begging to pay school fees. It's not a brag, but it is that an honor to God. Ah, she was telling me this week, hey, he said, hey, do you remember that time we will go to church? We'll go to church and we don't have food. And I'll be preaching all the time. I was preaching all these powerful messages in the footprints of Enoch and all of that. And I was preaching like me alone, I've seen God. There's no food in the house. You don't even know how it's going to happen. People, your calling is more important than your stomach. Oh. It's more important than your comfort. I don't know where God created it, but that spirit called comfort, it has disturbed many. They've abandoned their calling. And our primary identity, I don't want to go so much into that now. Our primary identity is to be a servant. You have to be a servant. It is me, my calling. It's my gift. Whatever I want to do, I'll carry wherever. You don't understand what you're talking about. When God calls a man or a woman, he calls that man or a woman and gives him or her as a gift to a people, and the people are a gift to him. He doesn't understand. And I am the prophet, and me, and when God was talking to me, were you there? And people missing it always. Eh? And musicians, as for your present day, this your day is not good. I'm telling you, it's not good. There's somebody in Nigeria who introduced something into the system, into musicians. It's not good. And I see some of the musicians arguing on social media. I say, you don't understand what you are talking about. Hey, some of us are preaching places. When we finish preaching, they gave us a letter to thank us. Hey, when I saw the envelope, I said, why is this envelope flat like that? What is happening to this envelope? They gave me a letter to say thank you. Go, we'll call you. One of my friends, I was telling her, went to preach somewhere, and the pastor's wife poisoned him on top. What are you talking about? And I hear musicians arguing on social media and say their pastors are paid and this. Listen, you know me. I've been doing this thing. You know me. How I take my own money and I will take money and rob the entire family and use for ministry. And when we finish, we are in debt. And almost 6 months, 7 months to 1 year before we are paying the debt. If somebody does not know, and when I start driving my Ranges, not the Range Rover, there's another car coming, Ranges. When I start driving, they say, hey, this and that and that. I say, hey, my friend, shut up. You don't know where we are coming from. I know my level. You better shut up. You better keep quiet. You are making noise. Listen, today's generation, we are not seeking God. Do you know that seeking your purpose is actually seeking God? That is why Elon Musk is as blessed financially and prosperous as he is. That is why Bill Gates, he discover it and leave it. Finish. Bible says, he that look at lying vanities forfeit their own grace. There is a grace for you. So you keep looking here, you keep looking there, you keep distracted. Bible says you have actually abandoned your own self, your identity, and you are chasing the wind. Somebody say chasing the paper moon. It doesn't exist. You're just chasing. You will not arrive at it. Please, this morning I came to put fire in your belly. I came to provoke you so that when you go back home, sit down and think deeply. You need to do an assessment of where you are at. Let me speak that way. Where you are. Where you are at. Assess yourself. Is that my life? Is that what it is? Is that what God wants me to be? Is that where he wants me to go? And begin to talk to God the next 40 days. Who was I talking to that me? Me, you share 40 days via Koshe baby. I don't know who I was talking to yesterday. Oh, you're the one. I'm looking myself for 40 days, so I beg my wife, I beg you, this one, release me. And what I want to do to God and what I want you to do to, by the time I finish with you, I know I am finished. And that is all I want. I know he has finished me because I cannot finish him. He has dealt with me. And when I come out, there has to be a different, unique grace on me. Please don't choke with your calling. Don't. Apply yourself. Listen, you are a servant. And you see, we are called to serve. Jesus came to serve. Philippians chapter 2, it says, let this mind be in you. I'm not going to quote the verse. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. He started talking about one another, serving one another. And let this mind be in you. That Christ, being God, did not think of it as a robbery. He took the God of, he abandoned it and took upon himself the nature of man. And condensed himself and appeared on this side. And what was his goal? To serve and die. And the gifts, the calling is given to serve. If you cannot serve in your problems today, you will never serve God. Let me repeat that. Oh, when I break through, you wait. And when you break through, I mean, I've seen it. I've ministered to people. Shake yourself. I know yesterday I pushed you too much. I worry him more. My wife will say, you and Albert cry. What is the problem? I say, we are gay. I pushed him yesterday too much. Even as at 11 or something in the night, I was calling him on the phone. Can you imagine? After all the pushing him during the day, Bernard dodged me. He went to political funeral. Bernard, by the time I finish with you, please, we can't live like this. Oh, we have an accountability to give. Oh, you are called to serve. The gift is not given for you. Though the gift must bless you, first of all, there must be an evidence and verification of the gift in your life. You are supposed to apply that gift to serve people. Why do you think he became born again? I was calling for a scripture. It says that so that the world will be saved. The impact of God's salvation, God looked and said, no, when he touched Cornelius, he will touch realms quickly. And all his household got born again. But the aftermath that I've gone in, we didn't see it, but it has happened. So, sir, your calling will destroy you if you do not discover your identity and then serve through your leadership gift. That calling will destroy you. Can I repeat that? No, should I say it again? Okay. Your calling will destroy you if you do not discover your identity and serve with that leadership gift. And serve with it, it will destroy you. Anyone who is not able to serve through his calling will eventually allow the call to destroy him. That is when men become arrogant with their gifts. They are destroyed. They can still be shiny, the shiny one in town, but they are destroyed. Please, the realm of the spirit is so subtle and deceiving, but people are destroyed, they are off. The gifts then becomes more important than the purpose. That is when that thing happens. People, I hear psychology says that 85% of the time, people spend time thinking about themselves. We cannot be that selfish. 85%, all you think about is you. Maybe you've not paid attention. All I think about is me. Now we have to come out of that as kingdom people and begin to serve God and serve people, minister to people. For example, the soul winning. And we said this month beyond... through April, our team is multiply. Genesis 1:28. Multiply. You have to multiply in numbers. We have to multiply in numbers. You have to multiply in grace. You have to multiply in anointing. You have to multiply in wealth. You have to go into tributes of business. Bible says in the garden there was a river, and the river parted into four head waters. And the one that goes down to Havilah, the gold was good. There was bdellium and all of that. There's a river. The Bible says in Psalm 46, it says that there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. People, God's rivers, go out and explore. Wow. Let me jump over this. I'll deal with that one later. Second foundation, let me jump over that. And let me talk about few principles. Let me cram them in and then let's go. So why should you, now this particular one, pay attention to me. Why should you discover your call? Why? Have you asked yourself? Now all this plenty talk, plenty shouting, part 20, part 21, teachings have been done, 22. Why should I discover? Why? What's the essence? Some of the understanding have come out, but one, it will help you to maintain the right focus. There's too much distraction. Too many things competing for your attention. Your stomach is competing. Your personal problems, circumstances are competing. Family is there, and family is not bad. As a matter of fact, you must eat and be strong. Money is needed, you know, so all kinds of things. But when you discover your calling, it helps you to maintain focus. Focus allows you to become productive and maximize yourself and your gift. So if I were you, one of the things I want to do today is to go sit back and say, what is this calling? What are the gifts, talents, and abilities? I need to know them. And I want to now begin to focus on that calling. There's something I told Alberta a few years ago when she arrived. Alberta, what did I tell you? Alberta, what did I tell you? It's like today I caught you in my teaching. And today I've caught you in my teaching. You can't remember. We're sitting here. I said, focus, focus, focus. Listen, all of us have challenges. Some people are not in church service today because they think their challenge is bigger than... If I tell you my challenge, you would run. Things that I need to be worried about. I'm not worried. Focus. We had a conference, and when we finished the conference, we were supposed to pay $2,000 for the rent of the place. And so many other expenses. I wish Sammy was here, but he's gone to school. He started classes now, so weekend most probably will not be seeing him. I was standing, this all come to, we need to pay for this. I said, okay, take this. Now, we didn't have money. And Shushu, Reverend Shushu came to me and said, Apostle, what shall we do? Like Jesus' disciples. I said, relax, relax, relax. I said, Apostle, what are we to do? I said, relax. Apostle, what shall we do? I said, relax. I didn't know where the money would come from for us to pay. And everybody's going on. They've enjoyed the teaching. We brought people from outside to come and preach. We pay air tickets. We have to give on uranium. I've not even thought about what on uranium I'll give to the people. The hotel bill is also waiting. And I'm standing. Hey! Who sent you? Is that what? Sorry? Then they ate food. They ate good food too. And on top of that, the good food too, I owe money. I've not paid yet. You think God ever called you? So I was standing there. Then one of my friends came to slip an envelope into my pocket. And I checked, it was 2,000. So that side was resolved. Listen, you need to be focused. If you're not focused, you'll be distracted. You will go chasing the wind. By the time you arrive, all your friends have gone far away. And you will be complaining. I call it complain maniac. It's not WrestleMania. So there's complain mania. They will be complaining. Then before you realize, you are just complaining against everybody. You become bitter. Please. God gave you a call so that you avoid bitterness. If not, you become complaining. And this, and that, and this. Everybody have left. Why? Everybody prospered. Everybody done this, and then this, and that. And this. Yes. There's a prophet I know. The first time he ministered to me, one young guy from KUNST. He came to our church, held the microphone. When he lifted his voice, I said, God, me too, I want to be a prophet song. This thing. Today, when you see him, he has hypertension. I'm like, he's gone. When you are talking with him, you feel depressed. Something has taken over.
and this my friend doesn't mind me, and this one doesn't mind me, and that one, and that one. And so that's where you find people in the church, they begin to complain against people, and the rich people in the church, they are not this and that and that. No. Yes, you only offer the apani any day. You pian the chio say then, and I can't say. So begin to climb the good tree so that say, this man is making serious effort. Like the way I'm preaching here, somebody will one day listen to this and say, so where is that man? And then come and say, look, I changed your story. Don't wait for you to be blessed before you start serving God. I'm telling you something. It's me, my experience. I wasn't blessed when I was preaching powerful and still preparing. As a matter of fact, sometimes when my wife and I, we have disagreement, that is when I even get powerful revelation. It means humble yourself. If not, you can become arrogant that even in the midst of everything, you can get powerful revelation. One day, some years ago, 2013 or so, she was blasting me over something. Then I entered the bedroom and locked the door. And I sat on the bed and took the same Bible. I opened to Acts 26 to want to read something. Then I entered into a vision. And I saw myself, that is one of the visions I will never forget. I saw myself traveling with two men. One was like a, like Obroni boy. One was like black guy, but you know, people of color. He's not black, but he's fair. And we were on a very large ship. Like, what do you call that, the American something, the submarine, that huge. We're like on a very large submarine and we're traveling the world ministering to people. And then we arrive at a particular place and we were bringing our bags from the ship and then the vision disconnected. I sat down, my back to the wall and my knees were up this way and I had a Bible on my lap this way with my hands like this. And then boom, I was lost in the vision. I will never forget 21st of September. 2012 or 2013, one of those. 21st of September 2012. I remember it was a holiday. Focus. Some of us, we have lost our focus because we have to feed family. But please, in the midst of it, focus. Why should you find that call? It frees you from being a slave to anything. Do you know you can be a slave to anything? You can be a slave to anything. So people are slave to money. People are being enslaved by the expectation of people. I don't want anybody I lead to be under the enslavement of my personal expectation. Neither do I want you to be enslaved to somebody's expectation. So that expectation, we break it now. Any false expectation is broken. You find people living another's dream. One of the scriptures that provoked me, it says that, do not despise me because I am black, for my brothers made me to keep another's farm, but my own farm I didn't keep. Songs of Solomon. The Shunammite woman was crying. Lamentations chapter 3:27. Give me just 5 minutes, I'm done. Lamentations chapter 3:27. It is good for a man. Say with me, it is good, for a man. And man here is generic, you know, male and female. Say with me, for a man, he should bear the yoke of God's dealings in his youth. It is good. Listen, it is good though. When you now become 100 years old, you say, give me that mountain. You may not have Caleb's strength. Now, Edwin, now you have all the energy, you are not married. Benna, now your purpose, your calling, now. Before your children, two children come and I call you and you tell me that you are taking your children to school, before you come and attend to me, now, focus. Now, find that gift. Endless. Now, in the midst of it all. Now, so for now. Gideon, now, today, now, Sammy, now, Abeta, now, Theodore, now, Mark, now. Those who did not hear, they have heard it all. Now is a demand that you bear the burden. You see, a man, one of my friends, he kept misbehaving. You introduce him to any lady, he said, I don't like, I don't like. I said, you'll be there, you'll be 50 years. I don't like, there's another one too, prophet. And a demon, and there's a demon in the girl. I think power fluctuation or something. There's a demon in the girl, and the demon, and the girl is this and that, and I saw a vision. I said, be them doing foolishness. Once he was doing foolishness, I married. Once he was doing foolishness, I married. Hey, are you sure that you're going to marry and this and that? Have you seen, have you heard from God? Be there, be hearing from God. When Adam saw Eve, he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. What he said, we don't understand. We think it's about being just spiritual. He said, flesh is talking. I love this one. I want, listen. Now, you want to marry when? When do you want to marry? You have to begin to make plans now. Look, you keep postponing your destiny and your life for who? Who will leave it for you? Edwin, who do you think will leave that life for you? So you see, I get worried when I see life being lived without purpose. When you discover, why do you need to discover your purpose? It helps you to use and apply your entrusted. I use the word entrusted for you to know that you are a steward. And a steward will give account. Your entrusted gifts accurately and effectively. When Job was in problem, was he not still talking to God? Was he not having serious? In fact, he was even having a serious conversation with God when he was in problem. The wife says that curse God and die, but the man says worship God. But you are saying that the other day he called me. Was it last year? We were coming to have a program in February. He called me. I called him and said, come to church. He said, hey, Prof, you see my problem? I said, hey, do you know the problem I have? That one, me and Krokro, so for me, a born again, young Krokro, me. My trouser was like this. The trouser was like this. I wore it for 2 years, 3 years. I said, well, nobody is seeing it. I wonder where is God. Upon that, now I don't even have shoe to wear. And I tell me your problem. Which one is your problem now? The food you are crying for, how much were you able to eat today? If not for the children, that we must make sure they are comfortable. They will come into their own experience. They have been born in Zion. They will have their wilderness experience as well, so that they can be strong on the day of battle. They don't abandon. They will all go through it. So sometimes when you are growing your children, bringing them up, at some point you have to put them and say, today everybody have to fast. You will see them. You see, mommy, I'm hungry. I think the whole world is collapsing. But it is a design to build them up. Your entrusted gift, you are a steward. Remember Matthew 25. The servant who did not apply it well, it was taken and given to another. Right in our face, right in our eyes, we will see transfer of resources moving from people's hands into another people's hands. People must learn to serve well. Yeah? Serve well in the ministry. Let me say this. I jump over it, but let me say it. And I'll say it again and I'll continue to say it. In the ministry, people don't serve well. I was telling Albert yesterday, I said, mommy, bread too much. I'm getting tired. I have to do this. I have to do that. When you need this person to come and do, they are not there. And when they need you, hey, you are in trouble. But when you need them, you are literally begging. So me, I decided I will not call certain people. Somebody, you pray with the person and life changes. Then the person is sitting in another church giving testimony. He's giving testimony in another church. And when the pastor prayed for me, he didn't say when your pastor, he said when the pastor. He knows that the pastor there was not the one who prayed. So he must say when the pastor prayed for me. And the people are so blind, they're not discerning to ask, which of the pastors? And Bible says in John chapter 5, Jesus, having found him, brofu, teacher, having found him, what does it mean? Meaning the man was going around searching. Where is he? Having found him. Oga, what are you doing here? So I'm giving testimony. You have to serve and serve well. Bernard, Nancy Mami Kasa too much. Serve and serve well. Listen, there are things that shouldn't be said to any of us. You have to know it and do it. Because you know this is my gifts, and I have to do it well. Amen. Should I stop here? And then next week, I take the remaining one. Because I can't finish. So next week, we'll return to
talking about why must I discover my gift. Remember this in summary, that we have to live a dignified, relevant, significant life. Remember this. That is about accurately fulfilling your call. Nobody will answer for accurately fulfilling or not fulfilling your call. You will do. Matthew 25, Jesus' parable clearly speaks. And we said, what is the call? That it is an inner impulse, a strong inner impulse towards a particular cause. So even in this definition, you can begin to discover what you are called to do. What is that strong impulse? What is that thing that excites you more? What is that thing that drives you? What's that thing that makes you hungry? What's the thing that you see that makes you angry? Yeah, you are in a ministry. Some things are not working and it's making you angry. What should be your attitude? Are you with me? Me those days, my former church, when I see some things in church that is not making me happy, I end up in prayer. Yeah, I end up in prayer. I will not talk. I will not complain at all. You will not find me. So at some point, when people were misbehaving in the ministry, my pastor one day called a meeting and said, you see, as for this person, he doesn't know. As for that person, he doesn't know. And Mark, he will not tell you. He will pretend. I should come and be reporting. I'll come and report this one. Come and report that one. Come and report that one. I begin to pray. God, let this thing change. The church needs resources, needs money. The church needs chairs. They needs that. I begin to pray. And I'm praying for the women. I'm praying for the children. I'm praying for the men. The very things that you want to be complaining about in the ministry, spend time praying about it and communicate it out of love if you want to. Remember that there are lies about the call. For example, we said this morning, it's only the pastors who are called. Can you imagine? It's only the pastors who are called. Is he also called to fix an aircraft? How would you arrive in that destination by aircraft? Somebody is called specifically to work only on the wings of the aircraft. Some people are just specialized to fix the wing. When everything is done, theirs is to make sure the wing fits properly. But even in that wing, there are different components that must be fixed, and there are specialists who works on that. The pastor alone is not a called one. We had this brother who lost the girlfriend because some strange evangelist and supposedly prophet told him that they are the ones who are called to do the work of God. As for him, who is, he's a fine photographer, he's not called. So his second mobile phone he has, he should give to them so that they will do the work of God. What kind of thing is that? By the time he gave the phone, he lost the girlfriend too, because he cannot communicate with the girl. What wisdom is in that type of expression? No. Remember that the foundation of the call is in your identity. Anybody who does not know who he is cannot lead anybody. Anybody who does not know who he is cannot lead anybody. And your effectiveness in your calling lies in you knowing who you are. And we also said you are called primarily to serve. Whether you are hungry, whether the wind is blowing, whether the oceans are covering the ground, you are called to serve. And on that note, remember what God told Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel, tonight I'm going to kill your wife. She will die. When she dies, I don't want you to wear a mourning face. I don't want you to put sackcloth on. No ashes on your head. I want you to be smiling and go about and do the work of God. Ha! God, what are you talking about? My wife is dead. You said I should be smiling. That is how we walk in the ministry of our calling. Not just in church, but even in your office. Because your calling does not just find expression within these four walls. It's beyond this place. God bless you. Please just raise your right hand. Let me just pray over you. Spirit of the living God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Lord,
We give you all the glory.